Welcome to Human Potential at Work, the show where we explore social impact, inclusion, and empowerment of everyone, including persons with disabilities. Your host is Deborah Rue, CEO of Rue Global Impact, and co-founder and chairwoman of Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring billions of voices of persons with disabilities together. To join the global community and to donate to the cause, visit billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org. And now, on to the episode.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah Rue, and this is Human Potential at Work. And I have a returning guest today. And when I really love somebody's work, I always ask them to come back. And so Emily Golden is one of those people that I just think is amazing. And I just really want to talk about her work, and I want to make sure that everybody knows about her. So I'm going to just real briefly tell you that Emily is the author of The New Golden Rule, A Professional's Journey into Personal Development. She also now has a companion to the book that really digs into her principles a little bit more. So it's an online course, and it can be enhanced by coaching as well. And that is called The New Golden Rule, Professional's Development, Journey into Personal Development. But also, Emily, like me, is a mother, and I believe she's an exceptional mother of two children that are neurodiverse. And she has a lot of experience working in corporations as well. So we're going to have, I believe, an interesting conversation. But Emily, what we'll do with, we'll make sure that we put a link into the first episode because I thought it was very powerful. But for those of you that didn't have the pleasure of watching the first interview, will you tell the audience more about who you are and what you do in your business?
Sure, absolutely. Deborah, thanks so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure. So I am an executive and career coach. I spent the first 17 years of my life in corporate America climbing the ladder in human resources, only to hit that breaking point of I can't continue to be in someone else's job. That's really what I felt. And I kept getting promoted. It was hard to come to that realization. I was talking about like golden handcuffs. But I did wind up making the pivot back in 2016 to go out full time on my own as a coach and HR consultant. And since then, I truly haven't looked back. I love running my own business. I get to work with incredibly high-performing, awesome humans, many of whom struggle with anxiety and with some natural ups and downs, biorhythms similar to me. But generally, my clients have had an amazing track record of success and have a hard time really owning their success and seeing their value separate from what they produce. And that's what led me to one of the things in my work that led me to write The New Golden Rule, a professional perfectionist guide to greater emotional intelligence, greater satisfaction in your career, and just generally a better life, was this idea that it is possible to really treat yourself more kindly, and that when we are in right relationship with ourselves, the relationship we have with everything else, our career included, is that much more powerful and is that much better. I wrote the book the book was published back in September of 2020, and I got so much positive feedback on the book. I heard, "You're talking to me. I've never felt so seen by a book." And I thought, this is amazing. I'm really bringing the message of what I've learned for myself out into the world. And I decided at that point to create the companion, the online course, which takes the principles of the book deeper and allows anyone really to get their hands on this work. And that was my intention with the book. This just takes it deeper. I work one-on-one with clients. Of course, I only have so much room in my one-on-one practice. So I often have a wait list. This work, the work of coaching, the work of ontology, which is the study of being and relationship with self, has been so transformational for me and for those that I've been able to share the work with. And that's really why I do it.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And I know, and we talked about this last time, and also want to talk about your children too, just because I love where you come from. And I think that makes you a better leader, a better, you know, coach as well. But at the same time, I want to ask you this question I asked you last time. it's very confusing about coaches, because anybody can pretty much put out a lacquer and say, I'm a coach. And I always feel that we should take the time to do our own homework and really make sure we know, quite frankly, have those people been successful themselves in the career that I want to do, things like that. But it really, I think sometimes I'm pitched all the time that people can be my coach. And I wonder sometimes these people that are pitching me, do they know what I do, who I am, my journey? Because I think getting the right coaches is sometimes difficult to do. And I want to make one more comment. I think during this time where we're all rethinking who we are, what we want to be in the world, what we want to do in the world, everyone is. We were talking about before we got on air that hurricane came through and a tornado was a mile from your house. So it's just really scary, intense times right now. And I know a lot of people that need support moving forward. And sometimes it's just too close to us. We can't even see what we need to do. Yeah, let me throw that to you.
So you're absolutely right. Coaching is unregulated. So anyone can hang a shingle tomorrow and call themselves a coach. That is of concern to people like me who believe in this profession and this profession being professional. So what I would say is there are a few things to look for in a coach. If anyone who's listening is thinking maybe coaching is for me, and to differentiate, coaching is a forward-focused conversation. It's truly a partnership. As a coach, I am not an expert in my clients' lives. My job is to be more of an expert in my own life. And I think that's one of the things that makes me, you know, excellent at the work that I do. This is not a therapeutic relationship, which is largely healing work, looking at a lot of deeper family of origin stuff. Not to say that sometimes coaches don't bring that in, but I like to make that distinction. So if you're looking for a coach, make sure that, this is my opinion, that they've gone through an ICF, International Coaching Federation, accredited program. Ideally, that they have a certification. You might hear from coaches, oh, you don't need it. You don't need it. But I know for me, when I'm working with a professional, I want to know that they've done their work, like you said. So there's an associate level, which certification, which means you've coached for a certain number of hours, a professional certification, which is the next level. And then there's the highest level, which is mastery. And that means you have thousands of hours of coaching. And you're also coaching at a transformational level. And I hit that milestone myself in December and I worked my tail off for that. And I've worked my tail off for everything really in my life. And that goes back to my own neurodiversity and the need for me to do my own work. But truly, if anyone is listening and they're thinking about working with a coach, be intentional about who you partner with. We as coaches can only take our clients where we've been ourselves. So I always say that it is my job to, as the leader of this organization, continuously do my work. It's not unusual for me to have three or four coaches at a time. I actually do right now.
Right. And that's another important point. Coaches focus on different things. And I was pitched by a woman that I know, and I like her a lot, and she's fun to talk to. And she decided she wanted to be my coach. And she said, Deborah, pay me $5,000 a month and I'll be your coach. And I said, well, how does your coaching work? She said, oh, we'll just have conversations like we do now. And I'm thinking, we already have personal conversations. So now I am going to pay you $5,000 to have. So, and do you know what my goals are and where I want to go? And also, I wonder sometimes how important, Emily, is it to work with coaches that sort of understand our lives and where we're coming from and where we want to go, especially when sometimes we don't know our, I know, for example, maybe I'm unhappy, but I don't know where to go. So, and this woman, she's amazing and she does a lot of coaching and she has some certifications, but I don't want to pay $5,000 just to talk to somebody once a month or twice a month.
It sounds like what was missing in that conversation was what you would be getting out of that partnership. Right. It sounds like what was missing was what becomes possible through that level of work. So one of the things that many coaches, unfortunately, struggle with is what I call enrollment. And that's enrolling the individual in the possibility for themselves. And the truth is, that coach nor I know exactly where you're going. But with the right training, we're able to evoke that knowledge and that wisdom inside of you to be able to take your ground. And I think it's really important that when we're in these conversations with individuals as coaches, that we're really hearing and listening for what's being said and what's not being said. There was a gap in that conversation, it sounds like, between where you were and where she wanted you to be. And yeah.
And then she, and nice, I really love her, but she's, I really need better cash flow in my life. So I'm thinking, okay, so is this for me? Or for you, because I enjoy having my conversations with you. I hope you find value in the conversation too, but there's a lot of misinformation. And I like how you talked about how it ties or doesn't tie into if I'm going to a therapist, because that's a very different thing, going to a therapist. And I know, Emily, you have a lot of experience working in corporations and applying these principles to corporations, but can you also talk just for a few minutes about the walk that you have walked with your neurodiverse children and how that has better prepared you also to be a coach with thousands and a master coach with thousands of hours, not to mention, as you said, you're neurodiverse yourself, as am I, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. So I'll start with my journey and then I'll talk about the kids, because I think that my own journey was part of what informed my being able to support my kids to the level that I have. I was born with some physical issues. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast. I'm missing 6 discs in my cervical spine. It's a rare disorder called Klippel-Feil syndrome. Couldn't move my head until I was off my shoulder until I was about 1. Of course, this caused a lot of issues and delays for me. I then had learning disabilities and anxiety. And all the while, I was really gritty. I was just a gritty kid. Like, I would figure out all the workarounds. I compensated beautifully until about 4th grade, where everything started falling apart for me academically. And that's your coming of age. I was going through puberty at that time, and it was really pivotal. Thankfully, my mom was very keyed into my self-esteem. I say that in quotes because we don't really use that term much anymore, but she wanted to make sure my self-esteem was intact. So as we were trying to figure out what my specific learning differences were, she had me in therapy. And that was really helpful. And it was early on. I was only 9. And so I learned a great deal about myself, how to navigate. I think that really helped me to build confidence despite my differences. So flash forward, I wind up successful. I overcome the challenges from like 5th to 8th grade. I'm basically tutored multiple times a week until I'm at the A track, doing great, no longer need the tutor, know how to learn on my own. And this great success story, get into a great school, great college. I wound up hitting another breaking point when I got into college. My freshman year, I almost failed my first semester because I had to learn how to learn again differently. Climb that mountain. Then I faced just crippling anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, which kind of straddled depression as well. And that was a really tough time. And I remember my sister went to the same college. She was 3 years older. And I remember sitting in her apartment saying, I don't know that I can continue like this. And I wasn't suicidal, but I was very depressed. I wound up getting help for that. And all of this informs how I relate to other humans. Learning to have that compassion, I naturally had that compassion for others because I saw it in myself. I wasn't necessarily compassionate towards myself. There's a difference, but I had much more room for other people. And so I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of people that come to me for guidance and advice. And I'm studying psychology and I wound up graduating and I wound up moving into the business world. Fast forward, I was in human resources and continuing to get myself the support I need for the general anxiety that I faced and my own physical stuff. I have my 2 kids, and in 2010, my daughter at the age of 5 starts to have tics. Now, I say she starts, it turns out she'd been ticking for years. I just didn't know what that was. And that was absolutely it was paralyzing for me. It's one thing to have your own struggles. It's another to watch your child struggle and to not know what is happening. She was subsequently diagnosed with Tourette syndrome and anxiety. My son then 3 years later at the age of five diagnosed with that plus learning differences. Neither of them have been put on this planet to walk a smooth road like their mom. However, I say all the time to my kids, we have choices as to who we be in the face of our differences. We can be victim to it. And sometimes that's what we choose. But mostly, I encourage you to be responsible in the face of it. And what that looks like is taking care of yourself, is knowing what you need and asking for it, reaching out a hand when you need support, recognizing that your differences make you beautiful. And of course, I do believe that God gave me these two children because I am uniquely positioned to be able to support them. It wasn't until about 2015-16 that I really started to do my own work around caring for myself. And that's the new golden rule, is to treat yourself the way you want others to treat you. Because all of the success that I had, the thing that was missing was my own ability to love and nurture myself and to believe that I was worthy of that. And that's the message of the new golden rule. And I practice it every single day.
Yeah, your children are lucky to have you, and you were lucky to have your mom that understood you needed help. And so at 9 years old, you got help. Wouldn't it be great if we helped all 9 years old, all people that are nine? It's everybody needs to know how to manage our own lives. But we don't teach people this. We don't teach anybody this.
It's a real blindside for us as in this country. And I know so many educators that are really passionate about social and emotional health. And if you think about it, so much of what our kids are learning in school matters not. What matters is your ability to manage through adversity, to be able to get back up when you fall down. And so we as parents must be creating situations for our children where they're actually, I think, actually falling and failing. Otherwise, they have no facility with it. Otherwise, it's all got to win. And that leads to not a very happy adult.
I know. And it's just a shame that we haven't prioritized those things, that we haven't taught people how to navigate their lives, how to problem solve, how to understand. We just haven't done it.
And so, I think the tide is turning, Deborah, and I think it has to turn. And I think part of the reason I believe it's turning is because more feminine energy, more feminine leadership is infiltrating our culture, and it needs to.
I agree. So let's talk a little bit more about the book and the companion book, because I work with a lot of big corporations and a lot of individuals in these corporations, and people are really struggling right now in ways I've never seen before. And so how could you help corporations would it make sense for corporations to offer these kind of courses to their employees to make sure, because I think employers are starting to understand they have to support our mental health and our life balances along our work-life balance.
Yeah.
So it feels like they need it more than ever before. So sorry to interrupt you.
Absolutely. It used to be that your work problems were your work problems and your life problems were your life problems, and these two did not meet. And then the world of being interconnected through technology really started to accelerate the conflation of these things, and then COVID happened. So it has never been more important for organizations to have their eye on the whole human. This program I have developed is specifically to be sold into organizations so that organizations can offer their employees a way to develop themselves personally, to be better professionals, to identify their strengths in emotional intelligence and their opportunities for development in emotional intelligence. I really see and saw, I saw and I see, continue to see a gap in employees feeling heard and seen and known. It's often hyper-focused on the bottom line and what are you producing. And the reality is that when people feel seen and heard and known, they're going to work their tails off for the company because they feel part of a community. So this program that I've created is there's an offering for just the online course. There's an offering for the online course plus an assessment and some coaching. And then there's the VIP offer, which gives all of that plus more coaching support. If I could scream it from the rooftops, I would. Every company can benefit from bringing this kind of work into their organization. And if we were to survey leaders and organizations, every single one of them would say either themselves or someone close to them has met a crisis around whether it's mental health, like a true crisis, or just an experience of what am I doing in this life? What am this existential crisis, if you will, or awareness? It's just part of the human experience, and to normalize it is everything.
Yes. And I remember I was in the banking industry for many years before I became an entrepreneur, and I used to want to be in human resources because I'm all people person. But then I started really seeing what happens in human resources, and they were not really allowed, I believe, to help people. They just have to focus on, and I was in the banking industry. There was a billion rules and stuff, but we actually need to help humans so that they can be healthier and happier. And remember, your customers know if your employees are happy or not. It is so obvious to us. And I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking of a situation that every time I went in this one situation, the employees are always so nice and helpful. And then there was another exact same situation where the employees are rude to you. And I know what that means. I know that means the employees are not being treated properly. I know that. We all, by the way, know that. The customers know that. It's so important. And by the way, doing this increases your bottom line. It increases productivity. We found that through COVID-19, when everybody rushed home to stay home, when we started getting it right, that employees were actually more productive than when they'd been in the office. Oh, who knew? Oh, yeah, we did know, but nobody was listening. And so it just seems like right now we don't really let human resources take care of humans, which is why we need courses like yours to teach people how. And by the way, Emily, I think every single person has those crises, because I think that's part of the reason why we're here. We learn from our hardest times.
Absolutely. So you bring up a really important point. And I, as a former human resources leader, I am very passionate about human resources having a seat at the executive table and really being part of that leadership team. I think a lot of where things fall off the rails is when HR is related to as the paper pushers, the policy pushers. And that tide is changing too. I've got my finger on the pulse there. And I really cannot overemphasize that HR is part of leadership. It's a huge strategic piece of the business. But like you, I found myself frustrated and hamstrung by policies and all of that had me not be able to truly be able to show up for my employees the way that I desired to in certain positions that I was in human resources. But again, I really see that as shifting. I think the importance, because many HR professionals themselves, they're just humans too. And right, they've experienced, you know, they all are, right? But they've experienced their own ups and downs. And so never before have I seen more interest in support structures like this course and other and other social and emotional support.
And never have we needed it more, ever have we needed it more than we do now. I know I was talking to a very talented woman, and she told me a few months ago, my employer, my large technology employer, is saying that we have to come back into the office. And I feel more balanced working from home and able to take care of my kids. I'm more productive. And I said, it sounds like you have some decisions to make. And she now works for another company, and the company she left is bummed that they lost this talented woman. But what's happening? Employees are waking up, and we expect to be accommodated and included and cared for. And if our employers are looking at it in the old way, it's all about the bottom line. If that's all they care about is their shareholders, that's fine, but we're not going to work for you. You will not be considered an employer of choice because society has changed. And so if you're an employer and you're not doing things like working with you, Emily, to make sure that your employees have the tools they need, we weren't given these tools. Unless you were lucky, maybe you were given some of the tools, but a lot of us struggle and fight and figure out tools. I'm in my 60s, so I'm like, okay, I figured out a lot of tools, but wow, if somebody had helped me with this when I was, you know, I know I could have even accomplished more than I've accomplished.
Absolutely.
It's so important. And that's why I wanted you to come back on the show, because it is so important that we do this. And I always say that word incorrectly, so important.
Well, thanks for bringing that. It's funny, I was texting with my sister last night, and yes, I was on the couch at the age of 9, but I didn't know so much of what I know now. And I said, wouldn't it be grand to, in our 40s, be able to go back to 1990, where things seemed so simple? This was in the face of this massive tornado that ripped through a community not far from us. And it's true. And if I can just impart even a third of the wisdom that I've gained to help someone else earlier in their career, later in their career, then I've done my job.
And Emily, when you think about the work you're doing, that once again, I think is so important, where does it belong in a corporation?
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. So where does it belong? I typically am working with human resources leaders in bringing the work into the organization, and it belongs in every function. It belongs with your salespeople, who are the face of the company. And I was actually working on a proposal last night for a group of sales leaders. And the thing that I was really clear on is how divisive it is for the business when there is a lack, when there's silos and there's a lack of collaboration, and how much power coaching can bring to create cohesiveness and collaboration. So sales, operations, technology, any piece of the business, human resources, legal, we work, in my organization, we work across functions. We work with humans.
And I also think customer service. And the reason why I say that is because when I was in the banking industry, one of the things I was responsible for doing was hiring people into customer service and training them. And they would love being in my training classes. We'd have super fun. It was a long class. So it was 6 weeks where they stayed with me or one of my trainers, and then they went on the job. And many of them, as they got to the job, they started quitting because they did not feel empowered to really do their job. They just felt like there were so many rules. Nobody heard them. Nobody cared what they thought. They're just customer service. Customer service are your customers. That's the liaison.
Interface.
Your customers. Yeah, it's the interface. And I also would always say to my bosses, the customers aren't talking to us. The customers are talking to our customer service reps. Why are we not helping them be more effective and make them feel like they can make some choices? Let them make some choices. But I often see, I agree with you what you're saying about the sales leaders. They definitely need it. All of them need it. But we also need it in functions. Any function that is interacting with other humans on your behalf need to make sure that they know how to manage themselves and problem solve for themselves, but problem solve for others, problem solve for their peers and the other team members.
You know, and some of the things that you learn in the course is the power of taking responsibility and ownership for your side of the street, the power of releasing that victim mentality that you're being done to. I talk about these distinctions of there's two sides of self, the golden self, highest and best, the essence of who you are. And then there's this survival self, which is all the mechanisms that you've created to protect yourself. It's the thing that keeps you safe from the fears. And often that's, you know, if even just distinguishing those few things, those tools can make a marked difference in how someone is showing up and how they're contributing to your organization.
I agree. I know I've already kept you 30 minutes because I could talk to you all the time, but You know, and I also want to make a comment. She doesn't just work with individuals and leaders and corporations. She also can work with any organization, schools, any nonprofits. And so often I'm creating a nonprofit Billion Strong. And it's interesting because a lot of things that nonprofits need access to are often people don't think about them. They just think about the corporations. And I want to give you the opportunity first to tell the audience how to find out about your course and your work and your social media handles. How do organizations that hire human beings reach out to you and make sure that you can help them? So once again, this isn't just for corporations. This is for anyone that's hiring human beings.
Yeah. So thanks for that. The best way to get in touch with me is on my website, which is golden-resources.com. And from there, you can find links to the book, the course. There's a form that you can easily fill out to schedule time with me. You can even just schedule time directly on my calendar from there. And if I'm not the right coach, I have a stable of coaches that are well-trained, have a tremendous amount of experience. And I like to say sometimes I get to play the ultimate matchmaker role. And so that's one way. I'm also on LinkedIn. I play on LinkedIn every day, Emily Golden MCC. And you can reach out to me, send me in mail. I'm all over that. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, though I will admit that we play less in those areas, but you can absolutely find Golden Resources out there.
And Emily, just because you are a parent of, you know, neurodiverse children, do you ever support families that are trying to get their hands around this as well? Because I think of just my own experience with my beautiful daughter with Down syndrome. Society kept telling me she could add no value. And it put a lot of pressure on me as a working professional. I even had another mother say to me one time, at some point you're going to wake up and understand it's more important to raise your daughter than it is to work. And I was like, what? But also, I get such joy out of work. Why? And what am I teaching my daughter? So us parents and individuals with disabilities, because I, like you, am neurodiverse, we're given those kind of messages too, in that we're all broke and we're not good enough. And so I was just wondering from that lens.
Absolutely. So people reach out to me all the time, specifically when their child has been recently diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, or they think there might be something going on, or there's ADHD, anxiety disorders. People reach out to me all the time. I'm not a therapist. I am a coach, and I really love working with parents, especially parents who are professionals, and particularly women. I have now, much of my practice is actually men, but I love working with the moms who are going through, this is not the child I thought I was going to have, and that whole process of acceptance, and then how to show up best for themselves and for their children. And I will tell you honestly, Deborah, if I didn't work, I would not be the parent that I am. And I thank my mom because she modeled that for me very early on. I say all the time, my kids have the best of me because I've got my own thing that I'm happy about, that I love, that I'm building. And then I get to be happy about all of that with them, but also be with them. I'm modeling for them that it's possible to have a career you love. And so I say to the, you should be home and you should be focusing. Actually, that would be the worst thing for all of us.
And there's nothing wrong with staying home. Of course, we're not saying that. But at the same, I know you're not
absolutely
saying that, but it's just, it really helps to get professional help sometimes.
And just one more thing on that note. Absolutely. There are some people who are so much better off being at home with their children. And for me, my anxiety would have actually been the divisive thing. Back to you.
Right. And I know you weren't saying that. I just want, in case somebody took it there, I just want to make sure. But one more time before we let you go, Emily, what is the website?
golden-resources.com. And if you are not able to find it for whatever reason, go to thenewgoldenrule.info. You'll be led to the same place. We like to make it easy.
I agree. Thank you for your work, Emily. I love your work, and I appreciate you coming back on because I think right now your work is desperately needed everywhere, especially in corporations that are finding they're really struggling to make sure that their employees are feeling part of the team and safe and healthy. But once again, for anyone that is a human being, I think that we all would value getting to read your book and getting to go into the courses and stuff. So thank you so much, Emily.
Deborah, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the work you're doing in the world. Thank you for bringing your gifts to other people. It's so powerful when those of us who are neurodiverse can walk the talk and can really model what it looks like to live a wholehearted and full life.
Ooh, said. Thank you, Emily. And thank you to the audience. So check out Emily's work because she's really making a difference. Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work. To learn more about Ru Global Impact, visit ruglobal.com. And to learn more about Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring the billions of voices of persons with disabilities together, you can join the global community and donate at billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org.